Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the Trade Raiders Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, your Nathan Weir brothers, we read comics.
You know, we do this every single week and you think we'd stop running into tech issues, Daniel.
Yeah, always something.
Took an extra damn 5 minutes to get this shit going.
Would you time me or something?
Yep.
But
5 minutes and 33 seconds.
And I still don't really know what the problem was.
Yep. And so hopefully this episode comes out.
That's how it goes in the podcasting world.
Yeah, we better go quick before this all takes shit on us, Daniel.
Yeah, I know. Fuck, we got different time codes in the description. Maybe I shouldn't talk too fast. It'll like overwhelm.
Yeah, it'll break it faster.
We got the book, which is Fantastic Four, 1234. We got Back Matter Matters and the Poll List, but we start with the news. What kind of news you got, Aiden?
Oh, I got all sorts of news, Daniel. What kind of news do you have?
It sounds like you don't have any sorts of news.
Daniel, DC confirms Green Lantern will appear in 6 upcoming movies and shows.
Yeah.
Most of it's stuff that we pretty much knew already.
That's too many.
Like Superman or Lanterns or My Adventures with Green Lantern. The only one that was new is that he's going to be in Peacemaker Season 2, Guy Gardner.
I think we knew that.
Did we know that? Then pretty much nothing new.
I think I saw a clip of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't been looking at any of the trailers for that. And did the new Batman Ninja versus Yakuza League come out?
Yeah.
Okay, he's in that. Or a version of...
That counts?
That apparently counted, according to this article. And then a kids show, DC Superpowers. So, yeah, apparently not really much news at all.
Yeah, it sounds like nothing
new
about
Peacemaker.
Nothing new for you.
Yeah. That's good. That's a big W for Green Lantern people, like myself.
Nathan, you remember me telling you about a manga called Rooster Fighter?
Yes.
Well, it's getting an anime.
Let's go.
I think they announced that it was getting an anime like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I thought that was when you brought it up to me.
Right. And it was called like Demons versus Chicken or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a dumb name. But
that was the English name?
I think that's what they were going to call the anime, yeah. But now it's just back to Rooster Fighter,
that's
which
a good
I think is best.
Yeah.
And it'll come out the spring of 2026.
Nice.
So
seems good.
That's a thing.
Are you up to date on that one?
Absolutely not. I read like one volume.
Oh, okay. And you liked it?
It's fun for what it is.
Seems like one of those just like silly,
yeah,
kind of, concept books.
If like what it is what you're looking for, then you'll love it, you know. But
yeah.
I don't think it's like, you know, taking readers away from anything else.
Yeah, that's fair.
So
sounds like some hot news, Daniel. You know what else is hot news?
What?
Comics collabing with hot sauces.
Okay.
Have you heard of this? There's going to be a Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees collab with a hot sauce company that's going to have different flavors based off of the Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees book.
Wow.
And themes. So one of them being Head of the Class, which is going to feature the art of when the pig gets his head cut off.
Okay.
Her head cut off and put in the thing.
Wow.
And there's going to be more. There's Saw Blade Special, Don't Lose Your Head. Oh, I think that's the pig one. Just Another Day at the Office in Duck Soup. prices are $18 a bottle, so hopefully it's pretty good. But some of them feature, I think, Jesse Lonergan's art, which is kind of cool. So
I would hope
so. For that guy.
It's just like panels on like a hot sauce?
Yeah, it seems mainly like that's what it's going to be, but kind of cool.
Nice. Nathan, did you see the Garfield movie with Chris Pratt?
No.
Well, there's another one coming.
What? They're doing it again?
Yeah, Garfield 2, baby.
Garfield 2, run it back.
What's kind of weird is like the announcement video, Chris Pratt, he like walks in with some pizzas. He opens it. It's like Garfield 2 written in like, I don't know, a sauce or something, like ketchup or something.
What?
And like
a pizza box?
Yeah, the thing that Garfield's most known for.
Yeah, that is the Italian food that Garfield loves the most.
Yeah, so that was dumb.
When did they announce it?
Today, I think.
Oh, no. They didn't even announce it on a Monday. That's what you're telling me?
Yeah. Freaking Wednesday. Or maybe I saw it 2 days late or something.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, that's coming.
Isn't Samuel Jackson in that?
Yeah. I think he's like his Odie? Dad or something. Do you think Samuel Jackson is Odie?
Why not?
The silent dog character?
Oh, maybe he talks in this. He's not always silent, is he?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know either. You ready to read another Garfield comic for the show?
No, we won't probably.
Yeah, probably not.
Just because, like, there's, like, the old ones, and those are just, like, news clips, like, three-panel ones.
Yeah, we just do five of those.
I don't think that's...
Let's make it our longest episode, but we only review five of the strips. And we, like, we really get into it.
Yeah, I don't think that's a great radio or anything, so... Nope. And I think the one we read might be the only, like, floppy, like, book that they had.
Yeah, and it wasn't very good, so...
Yeah. Nathan, you know Previews Magazine? It's got, like, all the previews of the books that are coming up. Well, it's done, Nathan.
I always wondered how they operated.
Yeah, they...
Not anymore, I guess.
I think it might have been, like, a Diamond Comics thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so the last issue is, like, last month, and then this issue never made it to print. It's just digital.
I wonder if those are going to be, like, more valuable. I mean, they were free to begin with. You don't think so?
Like, Wizard Magazine's been gone for a while, and you can still find those, like...
I'm sure, like, some of those are valuable, though, aren't they?
Maybe. For what?
I don't know. Just because they used to be, I don't know, it's kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, that sucks, but I was always kind of annoyed when they would put it in my bag of comics, even though I didn't want it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'd flip through it or whatever.
Yeah.
Not really be surprised by anything.
I used to be kind of excited about it when I first started, because I'm like, oh, what are all these characters' books and so much whimsy.
Yeah, now, like, every publisher kind of has their own, but those will probably go away eventually, too.
Yeah. Just look online.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel, there's going to be the X-Men. They're having an event. Big surprise.
Uh-oh.
It's based off of Age of Apocalypse. It's called Age of Revelation. And there's going to be a Zero issue created by Jed McKay and Humberto Ramos. And then the actual event itself is going to be Jed McKay and Ryan Stegman to launch the new era of X-Men. And there's going to be brand new titles like Amazing X-Men, Unbreakable X-Men, Expatriate. How do you say that?
Expatriatic? Expatriatic?
Expatriate. I gotta look it
Expatriate?
Up. Expatriate? What does that even mean?
Expatriate? I don't know.
Pronunciation. I love the pronunciation guy. We haven't had this bit in a while.
Yeah.
Please don't get an ad. Fuck me, dude. No free ads. There's like a weird... Expatriate.
I hate that. Expatriate. Someone hit the fucking dictionary, dude.
Expatriate. Dude, they were just trying to... I think they were just scraping the bottom of the barrel for nouns with an X in it.
Remember when they had like Excalibur? Adjectives?
Yeah, that's a good one.
That seems cool.
Yeah.
Is it like a fantasy? Like,
fuck if I know. I never read it.
It's like, oh, they're mutants in like the 1600s or something.
Okay, now let me look up the definition. A person who lives outside their native country.
So we're getting expatriate.
We're getting immigrants. That's what you're saying.
They should just bring back X Factor, you know?
Yeah, just do that. That's what people like. Cool. People like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems fine.
I like dropped off of that book at like 7 and then it was over at 10. I'm like, it's my fault, you know?
What book?
X Factor.
Oh.
Like the Mark Russell one?
Yeah.
Maybe it was always supposed to be 10, but still.
Maybe?
Still bum me out.
Yeah, I like when that dude gets a W.
Yeah. On the big two and whatnot.
Yeah.
Nathan, IDW.
Mm-hmm.
Their books will be available same day on the app Global Comics with an X.
Oh.
And... So
cool.
That's like a comic streaming app.
Another one?
So it's like $7.99 a month.
Oh.
But their issues will be available like
same day.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So if you don't want to buy physical ones, IDW you want books. It same day.
Well, other publishers are on that app.
Is it out yet? I think like I looked at it once. It's like indie stuff, I think.
Mm.
And then that's maybe old Big Two stuff.
That's kind of cool, though, because if you're reading more than two IDW books a month, that's worth.
Right. So, you know, Star Trek, Sonic, TMNT, stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
So I looked at it because I was looking for like a new thing.
I assume.
New digital comic thing.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like another Comixology. But so it might be good for somebody.
Cool. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a business strategy that'll be a thing?
it seems like a bit of a like a lifeboat kind of strategy. It's like, let's just give it away, you know.
Okay, yeah,
hopefully. I don't know,
someone will buy it.
I think
what do you think the price point would have to be for like Image to do something like that? Because it wouldn't be like $8.
I don't know, their volume one trades were like all $9.99 for a while.
That's good,
you know, and that was to get people into comics.
Yeah, I like that.
And like, I guess $10, but the thing is like, that's not getting people to buy more comics, you know. Yeah. That's just a way for them to read it, you know. Just,
yeah, check it out.
So it's not helping with numbers or anything. So I
fair enough.
It just seemed like kind of an odd strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if people are reading the books more, then that's like a good thing, but maybe it's just a way for them to get a kickback from Global Comics.
Yeah, true.
So yeah. Wouldn't it be wild if like Jason Aaron's run on Ninja Turtles ended just because the company went under?
IDW?
Yeah.
That would be sad.
Yeah.
Because like, someone else would pick up TMNT for sure. It, like, but it's not like they would continue the IDW run.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like collected, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And it'd just be a weird thing, you know?
Yeah.
Another Jason Aaron book that was never finished.
Not that many of those, I feel like.
I think it's really just Southern Bastards.
But... just Southern Bastards, but...
but it's weird that it happened twice, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it happens. But when you're putting a statement out, it's like, we'll be definitely around for another year, you know?
That's true, yeah. IDW.
But anyway, Nathan, what book did we read this week?
We read...
tell us what we read.
Fantastic Four 1234.
Nathan, are you happy? You happy with yourself?
What? You didn't like this?
Did you like it?
I think it's fine.
Oh my God, it was so fucking dumb.
It is a little bit dumb.
It was... There was no value I received from this other than some cool pictures.
I wouldn't say that.
There was no, not go.
Grant Morrison and Jay Lee. Two goats in the industry, mind you, that you're trash talking.
Oh my God. They know that they're not happy with this.
Well, okay.
Is this your favorite Grant Morrison thing?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Is it the one I understand the most? Maybe. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
So basically, like, the idea is it's a 4-issue comic. So it's a bit of a short one. It's not like it wasted a whole lot of your time. But it's the Fantastic Four.
That's four comics. I read something else.
That's true. But Dr. Doom is each issue taking out a member of the Fantastic Four. Each issue. That's supposed to be the, like, idea. And when I was a young comics reader, I was like, that's cool. Some heroes are dying.
What a great idea.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
And so I got it. And I remember reading it, and I was like, that's kind of cool, I guess. And
so you've read this before?
Yeah. Like, way, way back. Like, when I was ordering stuff off of, like...
Postmates.
What? No, on my comic shop. And, like, I would just get comics...
oh, yeah.
...once every, like, month, pretty much.
Nice.
But then I also didn't know what I was doing, so I remember picking this up, and I was like, this is interesting. But I think there's some value here still. It's definitely not a good... Fantastic Four story. But I think what it does is that it's not trying to be like a like an action sort of comic. It's trying to be like a drama almost.
Is it?
And I think there's some value in there to like recognize that these characters aren't like perfect. You know what I mean?
Would you recommend this book?
No.
Okay.
So I mean, yeah, but you didn't like it very much?
No.
The whole time?
Pretty much.
Wow, really?
Like, Jay Lee's art is good, and I like seeing...
he's so good.
Seeing him at this time.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, early 2000s or whatever.
Yeah.
He's definitely, like, formed his own kind of style now.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I think his style is still pretty prevalent in this.
I don't know. He doesn't have, like, everyone really, like, squinty and, like, all their eyes, like, far apart or anything like
That's what you want?
Yep. And... you know, like, how his art is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just was not, like, a fan. Like, it wasn't, like, that dense, luckily.
No.
So you can kind of go through it pretty quickly. But it just felt like I wasn't sure what was happening to each characters. And then it didn't seem like really that much was happening anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't understand anyone's, like, you know, motivations, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's pretty... it gets pretty messy at the end.
Yeah. Well. And then it just, it seemed like they resolved it really quickly.
Right.
Like the main issue.
But I think it's also because of the mechanism of it only being four issues. So you gotta tightly compact a lot of that stuff. But then that begs the question, is this even worth doing in the first place?
It just was odd for what you're used to Grant Morrison doing.
Right.
You know?
And for what you're used to the Fantastic Four doing.
You know? Yeah, we've read like a couple runs.
Mm-hmm.
Some are better than others. I don't think we've necessarily read anything that was like incredible.
Yeah, I don't.
So far. And this definitely didn't even touch any of those. Yeah.
How many Fantastic Four books have we done? This is like technically our fourth one, isn't it?
I think so. Oh, so wow. Like FF, Matt Fraction's run, Ryan North's run.
Future Foundation, right?
That's what FF, FF, okay. Yeah.
And then this one.
So.
All those are like kind of weird in their own way.
Yeah, which I can...
Are there any normal Fantastic Four stories that are like popular, like, I guess?
Mark Waid's, maybe? I don't know. Like, I feel like we've read ones that like we hear about. Yeah. You know? There's like a handful that I wrote down, like different people's runs.
Yeah.
Like James Robinson did one, the guy who did like Starman and stuff. Mark Waid had a run. The fact that I haven't heard about it makes me skeptical. Same with Dan Slott's run, but Dan Slott was a little bit better at Marvel stuff.
I know Jonathan Hickman had his own regular Fantastic Four run too, right? Like not just Future Foundation.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on earlier, I think.
Yeah. I think I've heard a little bit about his, but.
And then there was just like kind of a big gap in between, I think, like FF and then Ryan North's run.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, remember, like, we just didn't have Fantastic Four for a couple years?
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So
because there's like studio rights things, probably.
And then that's all just like stuff that we're keeping within the eras that we can pay attention to.
Yeah.
You know, so we're not going back to like the 40s or whatever.
No, I don't want to read some Stan Lee shit.
Right.
That makes sense.
So. Anyway, what happened in this? You want to get started? You got more to say.
Issue one. So the Fantastic Four are having some downtime. They don't have anything to punch. And Reed has locked himself in his lab to do a device that lets him do some thinking real good without interruption. And the rest of the gang is just kind of like bickering with each other. The Thing finds a Doombot that Dr. Doom is talking through in the Baxter building. And he convinces the Thing to put on a gauntlet that transports him to Latveria, and Doom convinces the Thing to walk through a time machine that restores Ben Grimm to his human form, like before he was turned into the Thing. So Ben Grimm is now unrecognizable, and he's not allowed back into the Baxter building, and he is hit by a car in the street. And that's one down, baby. We got one of them. Master plan right here. So
why would you listen to Doom?
I don't know. Because that's one of the things where I feel like the relationship between like Doom and the Thing is always kind of interesting, because the Thing always just thinks he's like bullshitting, like anytime he's doing anything. And so I was kind of surprised to see the Thing be like, oh, maybe I just misunderstood this guy because I showed him my ugly face. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say, I do love a Jay Lee thing. I think this is like a top design for me.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I like some of the close-ups on him where he's like got a big frowny face.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of sucks that we don't see him most of this book because he immediately is turned into Ben Grimm.
Yeah.
But I think this is really solid. I think his approach to the design isn't making like individual rocks that are just kind of overlaid somebody. He just seems like a rocky man in general.
Yeah, he seems just kind of lumpy.
Yeah. Or like cracky.
I think I prefer like the individual rocks, but it seems to work for his style and whatnot.
Yeah, I like how he does it.
He does. This had a reprint this year, and there's like a new cover that he did for it. It's fucking awesome.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
that's cool.
I'll find it.
We see a droopy like Mr. Fantastic when he's like hooked up to the machine that he built so he could think real good. I'd like to see a droopy Mr. Fantastic every once in a while.
Yeah, that most of the time he's kind of droopy.
Yeah, like in this book specifically, he's making he's in some weird situations.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Isn't that sweet?
Ooh.
It's like his modern kind of style.
Yeah, that's the modern style for sure.
I would be so catfished by this cover. Because <you know? laughs> the normal cover for it's like weird.
I think it's pretty good.
It's just like Sue like kissing.
Yeah, but that I think Namor? That's less catfish.
Scandalous.
Yeah, because it's scandalous. It feels like, oh, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Which makes it, it puts the drama on it. Because like, what I think he was trying to do with this approach is like, you know, they're supposed to be the first family or whatever, but families mm-hmm. have issues and they bicker or whatever.
And sometimes there's a hoe in there.
Sometimes there's a hoe in there. You know, sometimes there's some adultery and you just got to deal with that as a family. So I think that was like the main approach is just like make a drama like a little bit where it's like Doom is taking them out, but not like killing them.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate that kind of perspective. I also like the thing in the trench coat.
That's like one of the best like
just
ways to be, you know.
Yeah,
like if you think there's about
a Marvel Rival skin with the thing in the trench coat, and I paid for it.
You have to.
I don't even like the character that much.
I'm trying to think of like top outfits, you know, that are just kind of like
top alternate outfits for a character that are iconic, and I can't think of anyone.
It's like the thing in the trench coat is just like number one.
Yeah,
and I can't even think of a number two. You know,
I really can't. Maybe like a Batman power suit type thing.
I was just thinking that, but that.
So that's not like a casual, because I feel like this is casual wear when he's wearing the trench coat and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's not that many iconic.
It's more like the casual wear. Like if Groot were to wear like clothes or something, you know?
Yeah. What do you think? He must have like probably a tailor.
Yeah.
Who's a Fantastic Four tailor?
Or just goes to big and tall sections.
I feel like he's too big and tall for those.
Perhaps. It kind of depends. Like if he's like the Fanforestick one, that is like really big.
Oh yeah.
And like actually like doesn't fit
in
anything, you know?
Yeah, I like that size. Are you concerned about the thing in the new movie?
No, I think I saw everything I needed to, and that was pretty.
You like his size?
Yeah, it's solid size.
It seems like he's just a little bit taller.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not like, I don't think he even reaches like 7 foot necessarily.
Yeah, you know him being like insanely big seems kind of off, you know? Like, I think him being like pretty close to like normal human size, like Shaq size, that seems okay.
Shaq size? Yeah, I guess that's true. Because in the original like Fantastic Four movies,
he's a guy in prosthetics.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And I think that worked well enough now that I think about it. But I think I just in my head, I've always envisioned Fanforestick. Like, as like a live action
interpretation. In the comics, I think him being like big like that is like good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree. Also, I think was Jay Lee coloring this? I didn't see a color listed. Oh,
I don't know. Maybe.
But after.
Does he color normally?
I don't know. It seems
like his covers. Well, Jose Villarubia, he just painted colors.
In this?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's okay. But what I wanted to point out, when Ben Grimm turns back into like human form Ben Grimm and he's in New York, a lot of the colors of New York are like muted and like super gray. And I think that's a good choice.
Yeah, definitely.
Because he's lost his, you know, identity, I guess.
You think the Patch Wolverine is like a good...
Oh, that's a good one.
Or
that's a pretty iconic
fucking
one.
Patch and like Mr. Fix-It, like where like the Hulk has like a...
Big suit. Yeah, I think that's a pretty close contender.
That's a good one too.
A lot of people recognize me as Patch. I didn't even have the claws when I went.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, it was just eye patch, white coat. People know who you are.
Yeah. You should wear that to your wedding. The patch, I mean.
The patch, yeah. maybe I'll have an accident with my eyeball.
That'd be cool.
Issue 2. Sue goes to see Alicia to talk about feeling neglected by Reed. Alicia asks if Sue has been thinking about Namor again, which is a little bit spicy. And then Ben Grimm is in the hospital. Now he has an amputated arm because he got hit by a car so hard, I think. And people think that he's crazy for claiming that he's the thing and that he knows Mr. Fantastic. Dr. Doom sends his allies in the U.S. on to the next phase of the plan, which is when Namor confronts Sue in like a really sexy way. And Johnny has to deal with a mole creature that comes out of the ground.
He greets you with his shirt off.
But like this page where Sue's like, oh my god, Namor, I'm married. I see that page like every once in a while on like the just like online.
Yeah,
so I feel like that splash page is like kind of iconic in a way.
Yeah, it's definitely getting across like their relationship kind of thing,
a little promiscuous.
Yeah, so Alicia's having a conversation with Sue.
Alicia's the blind one, right?
Yeah.
And ends up with the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that wasn't a thing yet.
Perhaps. Not a thing.
Not.
But like Sue's invisible the whole time during the conversation.
Jay Lee's just trying to save some time.
Is this lazy? Like, I don't know.
it's It works though, I feel like. It works enough.
Yeah, I get think
it's
it.
Kind of funny to see like a wine glass or whatever like being tipped over.
Yeah.
Definitely saves them some time. I think that was a conscious effort.
Sure. Yeah. By all means. The Human Torch, he's like driving his car real fast on the road. And he's like slightly on fire when he does it.
That's what I like about this too.
I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
I like a slightly on fire.
He's gonna burn his interior, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And then he's driving with someone, like some lady.
Yeah, and like you're gonna burn them.
Yeah, she said she had third degree burns. Like, I'm like, serious. That's super fucking, like, she could die, I think.
Like, you need to go to the hospital.
There's no burns on her, but she said that she has them.
Yeah, I think it's more, you know how they exaggerate.
And then Big Monster comes from the ground.
Mm-hmm. Big Monster comes. I like when Johnny Storm's like a little bit on fire, but he's still like a human. Like there's panels in here where like his hair is just like on fire.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of cool. You don't really see that too much.
Yeah, it just kind of seems kind of Ghost Rider, you know?
No, because he's got skin on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes it'll be like his shoulders are like a little bit on fire.
Or you remember that like the villain in Static Shock who had like the fire powers and his hair was on fire?
No. I don't remember much of that show.
That show,
I know we watched it a lot.
I remember it was fucking fire.
I remember it was really good. We were excited for it when it was like coming out.
And then we like never read any like Static Shock comics.
Yeah, we haven't yet.
This dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, I just remember that they all got powers from something called the Big Bang or whatever. And then
in Static Shock?
Yeah, in the show. And they were all like close enough so they all got powers based off of that. But
pretty Fantastic Four. Ask me.
Yeah,
cosmic thing causes some powers. True. But anyway, Daniel, issue two, I don't know who's supposed to be taken out.
Issue three.
Issue, if that was the idea to like take out one member,
it seems thing, like it was the thing again.
Yeah.
True. It took off his arm. I'm like, wow, that fucking sucks.
How do you lose your arm from a car accident?
I think maybe it gets like smashed and like infected or something, and they have to amputate
really
it
fast then. Yeah, I guess it could be.
Or like if something gets like just smashed beyond recognition, you know?
Mm. Yeah, that could be it.
You know, you remember Death Race, that movie?
Yeah.
I remember a dude getting hit by a car and his head just fucking flew off. And I'm sure an arm could fall off, you know?
How fast would you have to go to fly off?
It was like an SUV kind of thing. So I think like a solid 60 might do the trick.
He's going at least 60.
Especially
miles
if he just hits like the body, the torso, you know?
Okay, I can see that then. All right, issue three.
Do you know there was like four of those movies? Like four or five
Death
of them?
Death Race movies?
Yeah.
Really?
And then Danny Trejo ended up being in some of them.
I could see that. Oh, cool. Oh, man, we got to watch those movies.
Yeah, I just remember the first one with like Jason Statham.
Yeah, I was about to ask who the big guy was. Or like who the big actor was in that movie.
Yeah.
Wow. You remember Twisted Metal?
Yeah, dude, that game was cool.
It was probably pretty good. I remember we liked it.
I just remember a city level where like, I don't really remember. You just ran people over? I can't remember.
Yeah. Did you race?
I think there were races.
There was definitely a mode where you like just try and kill the other cars or whatever. Yeah, like a demolition derby.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember really liking that game.
You remember fucking Jack X?
Oh, yeah.
Where like it's Jack and Dexter, but you're racing?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That game was hard, I remember.
I remember being fun as fuck.
It was fun.
You get all like the...
You get that again.
Shooting and stuff.
Yeah.
Good game.
Good games.
Anyway.
Issue three. So the Human Torch struggles to fight the creature that came out of the ground because it's raining.
He does the fire of four.
I love that.
Have to.
You got
to
do that. Did you see the fours that are being drawn in real life with the jets?
No.
You didn't see that?
No, people are doing that.
No, there's like a marketing. I think it was, I'm going to assume it was like a sponsored thing, but there's a plane that drew the circle and then the four.
Wow. Like,
with chemtrails.
Seems hard.
It looked difficult, but it was cool. Namor makes it Storm harder to take out the Human Torch, and apparently he can prevent Invisible Woman powers with his bioelectric aura. Human Torch and Invisible Woman are, they fall into Mole Man's lair, where they find out Mole Man is working with Dr. Doom to get Alicia and Human Torch as like a reward, while Namor was promised Sue. And Namor refuses to acknowledge that he's like working for Dr. Doom, so he floods the whole cave. Meanwhile, Dr. Doom sends a big Doom bot to destroy the Baxter building, which is where Mr. Fantastic is.
Mole Man looks fucking gross in this.
He's pretty fucking gross.
Yeah.
But this is how I expect him to look, you know what I mean? He's always kind of a gross character in general.
Yeah, but like we haven't necessarily seen him like this, you know.
Yeah, it's true. I like his glasses though. I would rock a pair of those. The like square ones.
You should be Mo Man next year.
Dude, that's such a good idea.
It'd be so easy. God. You just need like a cloak and then the mask.
A shitty villain year.
And then like a fucking
only if you're Stiltman.
How the fuck would I pull that off?
I don't know, just wear some aluminum around you.
Do you know that Lady Stiltman is a thing?
Lady Stiltman?
Yeah.
Whoa. Progressive.
Yeah. It probably could have just been Stilt Woman or something, but it's actually just Lady Stiltman.
I think being a ridiculous villain sounds really fun, actually.
Yeah.
I'd have to... Mole Man's a good one to throw into that.
Yeah. It's like OG, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, the Human Torch can't fly in the rain.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... I feel like you burn pretty damn hot. Yeah. So, the fact that you're taken out by...
He can go supernova.
I think...
You know?
Yeah.
At least according to the movies.
But. I could see how it would like, maybe if it was like really, really raining, like it's hurricane type shit, then maybe.
Yeah.
It'd be annoying at least. But to like fully extinguish him pretty much.
Because like, I think if there's a fire and you put water on it, like as a firefighter, it doesn't always put it out.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
And
that shit's designed to take out fire. This is just rain.
Yeah. So I was just like, okay, his weakness is rain. Yeah. You know?
Also the bioelectric aura. Affecting Invisible Woman's ability to create shields,
yeah,
is stupid.
Short circuit her aura or something.
Yeah, when you have too much aura,
he's just too fucking sexy or something. Is that what it is?
You're damn right.
She gets distracted.
You're damn right. Yes, sir.
And you say Namor is actually working with Doom as well.
Yeah, he's working with Doom, and apparently they had an agreement where if he distracts Sue Storm with his sexiness, then they can end up together or something. But I will say. Namor says this line where he says, only you can calm the storm in my thoughts. To Sue Storm? Are you fucking kidding me? That goes pretty hard. I could see why they have a thing.
I don't know if he has aura, but he's got Riz.
He does. He's got some words that do well.
I like the panels on this page.
Oh, yeah. Those are cool.
Good stuff.
Jaylee has a good sense of design.
For sure.
Oh. And then the next page after he says those nice words is just a diabolical splash page of like a big headed, stretched out Reed Richards, which kind of made me laugh.
Yeah. Something that kind of I double take on was like Namor's legs in this panel. They just seem kind of odd, like the way he's like positioned, you know?
He's definitely spreading.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, he's like shins. Flexible. His shins just seem like too long.
You know? Yeah, they do seem a bit long.
But
you don't really see where his feet end up, so it could be like an angle thing.
Yeah.
But they do seem pretty long.
Anyway.
So, does Namor control water?
I thought he did, right?
I don't know. I don't really know what he does.
Like, he's just Aquaman, right?
I don't think Aquaman can control water, though.
What?
Can he? Is he a waterbender?
I think so.
I don't know.
Namor.
I know he could fly. That's pretty cool. I figured he could communicate with sea life. And he's pretty strong. Good swimmer. But I don't know if I ever...
Aquatic adaptation.
Turns in the water? No, okay, that's fair. Does he do that in the movie?
Hydrokinesis, yeah.
Oh, that's a cool
one. Electric shock? I didn't know that one.
He's got bioelectric aura.
Yeah.
That's my favorite power that he has. Okay. I think that's just a gap in my knowledge of Namor.
Are you sticking to Namor?
I think so. The more I think about it, the more I think Namor kind of sucks.
It does kind of suck. It's just that Namor, definitely not.
Namor, no.
But I liked in the movie that they said it like both ways. Like,
yeah, like they're not even sure.
Like he called himself Namor, but then people in Wakanda were like Namor, you know? So they were like
kind of fucked up, taking
the easy way out, you know? Yeah, they're not properly pronouncing his name.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
He's not talking like a different language to where they need to like put an accent on his name.
Yeah, but you're like, it's like when I was watching the movie Horrible Bosses.
Good movie.
And there's like a part where they're talking to somebody.
Motherfucker Jones?
Like, no, not Motherfucker Jones. That part's really funny though. But there's a part where they're like talking to somebody in their car who's supposed to be part of like the navigation system or whatever, but they're talking to him and he's like an Indian guy and they're like, what's your name? And then he says something like pretty complicated and he's like, well, why do you go by Mike? And he's like, well, my Indian name is too hard for American people to to say. And they're like, you know what? We're gonna call you by your Indian name. And then they try and say it, and they're like, you know what? We're just gonna stick with Mike. And I thought that was pretty funny, but that's what it's like. It's like you're forcing like a new name onto somebody.
It's not like they were. He has like an English name. Like yeah. we don't call Namor Mike, you know?
Yeah, or like Jeb.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know.
What would you prefer, Namor?
You can do whatever you want.
I want to do what you want.
No, you do what you want. You're your own person.
I want Namor.
You can choose. All right.
Or yeah, okay. I was gonna try and make up something more annoying, but I couldn't think of anything. Issue 4, Daniel. Mr. Fantastic reveals that he knew about Dr. Doom using a device called the Prime Mover that can manipulate reality, but like only a little bit. So Reed built his own version where he could see what was being changed and kind of react to it. So that's what he's been doing in the thinking machine this whole time. Namor, Invisible Woman, and Human Torch team up to take out the giant Doombot. Invisible Woman and Ben Grimm find the same gauntlet that teleports them to the time machine in Latveria to bring back the thing. Invisible Woman stops Dr. Doom while he's controlling the Doombot, and the thing destroys the Doombot in New York. And then Dr. Doom is outed, and the Fantastic Four are stronger than ever now. Hooray! And that's the end. So, like, this is where it gets super Grant Morrison, I would say, because apparently this whole time, or this Doombot, or whatever it's supposed to be, is like a reality manipulation device, and I don't know why he wouldn't use that to, like, kill them, if that's what he wanted, or maybe he just wants to tear them apart. I don't really know. But it starts to get like pretty sci-fi, I guess, and like by traditional like Morrison standards, I would say.
Sure.
There's a scene where Namor and Invisible Woman kiss, and Namor is like, oh shit, maybe it's like that Doom device. It's like just putting this fire in my heart.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, you dirty dog, Namor. It's like definitely bullshit, but it's like kind of funny.
You don't need a fucking machine.
Yeah. It's super lucky that they found the same gauntlet that teleports you to Latveria, just kind of on the ground in New York, to, like, teleport the thing back to Latveria.
Yeah, you know.
Seems like an oversight on Doom's
master plan. It's only 4 issues, so they gotta get straight to it, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Sue uses, like, her force field to dry off Johnny.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's smart.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Here we go.
Yeah.
And then Reed, he uses his powers to stretch his consciousness.
I love that shit.
To come up with better ideas.
I love that shit. I'm totally stupid. I'm totally down for that. You want to be smarter? Increase your fucking brain capacity. Stretch it a little bit further. I think that's fine. I hope they do that in the movie.
Yeah. That's such like
it's just a funny idea. It's such a
weird cop out for like the smartest man on earth or whatever. He's like, oh, I need to be smarter.
But he can't do it like all the time.
I'm going to stretch my head out.
It's like an ult. It's like a temporary thing. You know what I mean?
Sure. So a big thing for this is like, Dr. Doom wasn't there like the whole time.
Yeah.
He was like a VR villain.
Yeah.
For a bit.
He was like those Tesla robots.
Yeah. He's all like, strapped into something in that area, and he's controlling the big robot or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And that's the...
That's
what he was doing, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's not allowed in the United States.
Okay, so he sends like a big-ass drone.
Yeah, he sends a big Doombot.
So big Doombot, it gets close to the Baxter building or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then Namor and the Human Torch just fly through its head.
Yeah.
Like, first try.
Yeah, they do pretty good,
like, there was no, like, struggle. Like, he was walking around for a bit. They're like, what do we do? And then he's like, one panel, it's over.
Yeah. What I think is funny is that that's the only way that he could see. Like, his eyes were actually, like, cameras or whatever.
Yeah.
That were streaming to Dr. Doom. So, well, the Doombot was still operational. He just couldn't see what he was doing.
Oh, okay. And that's when the thing comes in?
Yeah. So, that's when the thing came in to, like, somehow blow up its entire body. But
I don't know how the thing did it, because he just kind of grabbed his finger.
I think it's supposed to be...
Maybe he like made him like punch himself or something.
Yeah.
Because his knee also blows up.
His knee blows up and then like the rest of him blows up. But to me, that's just him jumping and doing a big hit. And then he jumps to the next part and does a big hit. I don't really know. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
What I do think is interesting is that it seems like Doom is acting on like a little bit of jealousy of Reed having like a family. And he seems like a lonely guy. he seems. Yeah. So I think that is kind of an interesting perspective, other than the normal, which seems like it's just hate because Reed's smarter than him or something. I like the perspective of him being jealous of his, I guess, family and stuff. So
yeah, that seems like a kind of a core motivation for him.
Yeah. Also, question. I think Alicia's been making like clay figures.
Yeah, I saw
that. What is that? Is she like... Because I looked up a little bit.
Maybe she's just a big nerd.
Of the character, and I'm like, does she become something? Apparently, she's the daughter of Puppet Master, some villain. Okay. And I'm like, does she make clay puppets?
Interesting.
And like turn them to life? I don't really know. But I never knew that.
We'll have to find out in 5, 6, 7, 8, you know?
Yeah, true. An issue 1235.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the book. Let's get into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
Nothing.
Yeah, like it's weird that they have, so they'll split it up by like two issues at a time, and they'll have just like the covers for them.
Yeah,
which is interesting. And then they have like a placeholder page, which is just the four.
Yep.
And then the back page. So no back matter.
Yep.
None this just time. Just to add to this book.
I think it's not as bad as you think. But it's not great.
You're gonna buy a physical copy, Nathan? You're gonna reread this?
It's got
this?
That new J. Lee cover, maybe.
Yeah, that is the thing. Anyway, what do you rate this?
I'd give it like a... What's something you split it for? Like a graham cracker?
A bazooki.
A bazooki?
Yeah,
interesting.
You always share it.
I don't know if this is good enough to get bazooki status.
A fucking crumble cookie?
Oh, that's a good... Yeah, okay. I like that.
Okay.
Because if you eat a crumble cookie fucking whole, you need help.
I would do it. I've done it before.
You have?
Before I looked up the calorie count.
What a tank, dude. Nice job.
Yeah, dude. I love them.
Well, yeah, I would say probably a crumble cookie, but it's like...
Which one?
Okay, here's what it is. It's a crumble cookie box of four. Three of them you really like, and the fourth one is just like, I'll try this one out.
Okay.
And then you cut that one into four, and you eat it, and you're like... Not my favorite. I see why someone would like this.
It's like one of the cakes or something.
Yeah, it's like it's like a weird like
they
lemon
do pies now. Sometimes.
Oh yeah, it's a crumble cookie pie for sure.
Okay,
it's like okay, it's like a little bit different, a little quirky, a little fun.
Sure,
that's what I would rate it. What would you rate it?
I would rate it like there's like a new flavor or something at Baskin Robbins or something, and you're like, that sounds interesting. I want to mix it up, you know, not just get my normal...
Big mistake.
Yeah, my normal go-to, you know, try out the seasonal kind of thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Taster spoon. It looks good. You try it and you're like, I'm just gonna go back to normal coffee ice cream.
Maybe
or whatever.
Maybe go back to Ryan North.
Yeah. So it looks appealing. Doesn't taste appealing. But it's small, you know, and it's free.
It's true.
So it's still ice cream, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Of the Grant Morrison stuff that we read, where do you rate this? What have we read from Grant Morrison?
That we've read?
We've read All Star?
Probably the bottom, dude. Flex Mentallo.
Ooh, that was good, though.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
New X-Men.
That's true. Yeah, it's probably the bottom.
I know that he's probably not like, you know... Perfect in everything he does.
I don't think he's perfect in anything he does.
Well, yeah. Well, like, good, I guess, in everything he does.
He's pretty solid.
Right. He's made a name for himself, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't think this is anywhere near the top, so.
Yep. Fair enough.
Let's get into the pull list, Colin.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
What's in your box? What are you shoving in there?
So... There's actually a new Fantastic Four run that's coming out.
Isn't it by Ryan North again?
Yeah, it's Ryan North again.
Yeah.
I don't know who's the artist on it.
Mm.
It looks okay. I don't know. I might flip through it.
Yeah.
And also the Fantastic Four First Steps one shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is coming out. Might.
Nah.
Matt Fraction.
Oh, he wrote it?
Mark Buckingham.
Ooh.
It's quite a duo. A duo we may never see again.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
Still probably not, though.
Planet Death, number one.
Yeah.
From Bad Ideas coming out.
That'll be cool.
Gonna check that out. And Archie meets Jay and Silent Bob.
Nice.
That comes out.
Does Kevin Smith write it?
Yeah.
Nice.
It'd be cool if that was out before Comic-Con. Like, I might have paid to, like, meet Kevin Smith. Kevin Smith. And have him sign that. Because, like, the signings, like, you get, like, a headshot that they sign, and that seems kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I want, like, a picture of anyone signed, you know? Like,
would you frame that?
Unless there's, like, Tom Cruise or something, you know? But, like...
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. That's something. Like, why do you have a signed picture of Tom Cruise? Because I met Tom Cruise. What the fuck?
How much was it to meet Kevin Smith?
It was, like, $90.
Is it the same as, like, everybody else?
He was, like, a little higher than some of the people. Like, there's all kinds of people.
I think, but, like, most... Charlie Cox was there. No.
No, he didn't make it.
Oh, he bailed.
He bailed, like, Vincent D'Onofrio
was there. Is it the same to meet him?
So, before, I did check the Charlie Cox meet and greet, and that was, like, $250.
Okay.
So, all
right, the $90, I feel like, is fair. Maybe for Kevin Smith.
Yeah. They definitely crank up the prices for scalpers and whatnot. You know, yeah, like, totally. You're not going to get some Funko Pop signed and then turn a profit on that, you know? So
fair.
It's like, if you really want it, you know? Mm-hmm. And also, so it's not just like an unbelievable line that takes all day or whatever.
Yeah. Dude, they had GamesCon at the same venue.
Yeah.
Last year. And I had some friends that wanted to meet somebody that was a voice actor for in Baldur's Gate 3.
Mm-hmm.
They stood in line for 7 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Isn't that insane? The whole con came and went, and they got the thing signed or whatever, and she was totally happy about it.
I went to...
But they were only there for a day, so it's like, that's the whole fucking thing that you paid for.
I went to Knott's Berry Farm, and there was, like, the last ride that we rode on, it said it was, like, an hour and a half wait. And they were like, let's just do it, you know? And then it was moving so fucking slow, we ended up standing there for like 3 hours.
No way.
Total. But like, once you get to the hour and a half mark and you're like not there yet, you feel like you're close.
Yeah.
And you're like, we've already been waiting for an hour and a half, so might as well stick it out.
It is a crazy mental game.
Yeah. Like, it's
when you don't think
to go to some amusement park, be like, oh yeah, we'll wait an hour for every ride.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of hate amusement parks. I'm like, I'm okay not going to one until like Luke's old enough for that shit. So anyway, did you read anything?
I did. I read lots of things. I read Battle Beast number 2.
Yeah.
That book's good.
I think it's a good book.
I think it's like really, really fun. The concept is like pretty simple, but it's like, I don't know. I like how it's just progressing.
See some bloody stuff, you know?
Yeah. Ryan Ollie seems to be having a good time.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Good to see him on stuff.
I read Predator versus Spider-Man number 3.
Yeah.
This one's fine. It's just kind of Kraven being like, oh, I'm going to find this guy. And the
powers. He's a good thing to add.
No, he's definitely needed in like a book like this. So I'm excited to see when they all come together. Spider-Man fights like 3 different Predators, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that interaction. I read Absolute Martian Manhunter number 4. And that book rules.
Yeah, good issue.
It's really, really good. Which is crazy because Parker, friend of the show, he read issue 4 and he's like, I'm dropping that book.
Wow.
And I'm like, you're so wrong.
I would have dropped it like after 3 more than after 4. You know?
Yeah, 4 is really good. There's like really dramatic like stuff.
All happening. The stuff with like his wife.
Yeah, and the
stuff.
Wife stuff is like a really ramps.
It's really
up.
Yellow,
and she's like spoilers, I guess, but like she's saying like, oh, I think we should separate a little bit. And there's like abstract explosions or whatever happening behind as she's saying that stuff. And I'm like, this is good, man.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. And there's shit that's happening. I don't even understand like what the metaphor is. Like, there's a part where the Martian takes the sun and he puts it into his eye and then he looks through the dude's eye. And I'm like, I don't even know what that's supposed to mean, you know, but I fuck with it.
I just kind of like how normal shit's happening with him, with John Jones. And then like, it's just the Martian like in the background somewhere doing some shit.
It's kind of like,
why are you a lamp pole or whatever?
Yeah. I love that book. I think it's great. I read the Planet of Zero.
Yeah.
Issue, which is the same as the Free Comic Book Day thing.
Oh, it is.
I'm pretty sure.
So I paid $2 for that shit when I could have got it for free.
Yeah. Oh, it's good though. I'm excited to see what that is, because you don't really get a whole lot out of that Zero issue other than that it looks fucking raw as hell.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be cool.
Didn't it feel nice?
It feels good.
I like the feel, like the newsprint or whatever.
It's kind of a lot for my fingers to handle. It's kind of like my fingers are being DDoSed a little bit. Like there's so much like sensory. Like
maybe they did it on purpose.
Yeah, you know? Maybe. I don't know.
It needs to feel intense too.
Yeah, that's true. And then I read Crypto, The Last Dog of Krypton, number one.
Yeah.
Really good.
Isn't it awesome?
I love that approach.
Big fan.
That they took. It ended in like a surprising way.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see where it goes. But I like just cute dog stories, I think. And yeah. Mike Norton, famous for Battle Pug.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he the artist?
Yeah. Battle Pug rules as well.
Dude, we should totally do Battle Pug.
We have to. I'm surprised it's taken us this long.
When we do like a pet month.
Yeah. That would be a good pet month.
Might be able to do it in like September.
Okay. Cool.
So hold on.
Yeah.
Spoilers for this book. But the fact that like...
Oh, for
Superman's parents like use crypto as just like an experiment.
I'm like, dude.
I'm like, don't fucking what crypto? The family dog.
Yeah, that seems fucked up because they seem to love him a lot
before like a monkey or something.
Yeah, and I like that it takes place like months before they know this shit's gonna blow up.
Yeah,
and they're trying to figure out how to save people. Like you don't see that a lot. You either see it like I guess before. You kind of do in like the Krypton show. Maybe I didn't watch it, but
yeah.
You normally see like right before, and so. But you'd think
that shit was so sad.
You'd think that they would just like put like a weight or something, like a dumbbell that weighs like 100 pounds.
Yeah,
throw that shit in there, then throw him around the sun,
like, fucking air tag or something. You know?
Yeah, but then he gets thrown through a fucking wormhole. But yeah, I like the lettering choices. Yeah,
you just shoot your dog at the wormhole. That's
no, they
nuts.
Didn't know there was a wormhole. It came up out of nowhere.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, a little insane.
I was a little zooted reading that, and so I was a very emotional reading.
It's emotional, sober too.
Come on, dude.
Because they have crypto and like baby Kal-El, and they're like laying together, and it's like,
yeah,
God, that's the cutest thing in the fucking world. They're
best friends.
Yeah, it's awesome. So I wonder how they're gonna do how they explain crypto in the movie.
Did they draw that baby kind of chunky?
He's a chunky baby.
Yeah,
yeah. But anyway, that book's good. I like it. And then I read Absolute Wonder Woman 8 and 9.
Nice.
I thought I had read 8. And so I was going into 9 and I was like, this is a weird place to start a story. And then I realized it said like part 2 of 5 or whatever for the story arc. And I was like, oh, I didn't read the first one. So, but dude, it's still good.
Yeah.
It's still, we have to read it. You have to read it. I'd be down to reread it like for the show, but it's good. Easily my favorite absolute book. But like, I just like, it feels like what Jason Aaron did with Thor a little bit.
Wow.
And just like how creative she's getting with it and like the lore kind of it.
Quite the endorsement.
Yeah, it is. That's literally like what it makes me feel like, the excitement kind of just like for exploring these random mythological corners of this character's history or like
the trade mythos. Comes out in August.
I can't believe it's not out already.
Yeah.
They should have fast tracked that shit.
I never understand trade release dates.
Yeah, you know? I don't know.
Because it's only maybe like the first 5 issues. Because they know that it
sold like 4 first prints.
Yeah.
Or 4 printings of the first issue. So you think that they would just, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's good. I like that book. What'd you read?
I read The Boys, number 32 through 39.
Oh, wow.
The show, season 5, just finished filming. Mm-hmm. I think it's coming out next year, so I'm definitely going to finish before that.
Cool.
I'm determined, unless I'm just really thrown off by like the art or something.
Yeah. But
there is a couple
new artists, right?
There's a couple Derek Robertson issues, so that kind of gave me some momentum.
That's good.
But yeah, there's like some origin stuff with some of the characters. There was some stuff with Payback, which is like that team that Soulja Boy is on.
Oh, yeah.
They really changed Soulja Boy. Like Soulja Boy is like a goody two shoes kind of character, like a Captain America. You see Stormfront in his like Nazi ways or whatever. There's a cover that's kind of funny. I'll show you. Give me a sec. So it's Stormfront, but it's like an homage to like All-Star Superman.
Oh, that's cool.
But like the city's burning. He's got like a swastika on his cape.
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. You like that?
I like that. That's I need to hunt down that issue.
Yeah. I just thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Derek Robson does like all the covers, which is.
That's good.
Misleading, but still cool. Still cool to see here and there. Before that, there was a team called the G-Men. So it's kind of their like X-Men kind of thing.
Oh.
Yeah. There's like a bunch of different like G teams.
Okay.
And like the...
Why G?
Because the Professor Xavier-esque character, who doesn't have any powers, he's like Godolkin.
Oh, okay.
Which is like what the Gen V school is called.
Got it.
So it's just kind of, they're taking care of that.
Got
and
it.
That sort of thing. But yeah, good stuff. Nice. I like it a lot. And then I read Captain America, number one.
Nice.
Chip Zdarsky, Valerio Schiti, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Pretty promising.
Nice.
It's good. I don't good. Know
what to expect from like a Captain America number one.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, I thought. But I looked at like some of the future like covers, and I'm like, oh, this is sick. I'm gonna keep looking at that.
Yeah, Chip's doing some cool covers I saw.
Yeah, so I'll keep going with that.
Sweet.
I think.
Yeah. Probably read that this week.
Yeah. Did you watch anything?
I did. I watched It Follows, the movie.
Oh, yeah. Is that Fede Alvarez?
No.
No.
No?
Who did that? Hold on. One sec.
It's some dude that I didn't really recognize anything else that he had done. I don't think it's Fede Alvarez, though, because he's the Romulus guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're thinking of Don't Breathe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I get those movies mixed up.
Have you seen It Follows?
No. Is that like the
You have sex STD and the thing one? Follows you? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's like kind of a dumb concept, but made well, but not written well. if that makes sense. Like the concept's dumb, but kind of cool, like in the way that they show how scary it is.
Sure.
So it feels spooky and scary, but written, like the choices of some of the characters are like, they don't have any common sense.
Right.
So that's the only thing that I don't like about it. But the idea itself is kind of fun. And I like how they present it to you. There's still definitely a lot of questions and things that don't make sense. And also it ends in a way where it's like nothing really happened. You know?
Oh, okay.
But apparently They Follow is going to come. And that sounds pretty cool too.
Oh.
But I like it's just like made well. So it's kind of a fun movie. And I watched it while I was house sitting at our parents' house alone in their big ass house.
Mm-hmm.
And like the way that the like scary stuff is framed is they'll be like doing something. You can see like a bunch of people in the background, but you'll eventually lock your eyes onto somebody that's like heading straight towards the camera, like walking straight towards it.
Yeah.
And I guess that if you don't know the idea, it's like if some person has this thing where there's a, some sort of entity that makes itself look like a person. It could be somebody that you know, somebody you don't know. But it's just trying to get to you and like kill you. And the only way to like get it to stop following you is if you have sex with somebody and it'll start following them. So they have to have sex with somebody else. But if the thing kills them, it'll go back down the line.
And like it's kind of like The Ring.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. And so like basically the idea is like you just need to make sure these people are having sex with a lot of people so it just doesn't get to you.
Mm-hmm.
What was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So I finished the movie and I was like, that was pretty good. I wasn't really spooked at all. But like a couple minutes after, our parents' house has like an alarm system thing.
Yeah.
And like when you open the door, it makes like a doo-doo. But what I didn't realize is that they had to like update their like alarm system or something. And it'll just tell them by giving them a little doo-doo, the same noise. Like just randomly you'll hear that noise when
the fuck is in this house.
I know. And so like a couple minutes after that movie, I was like, that was kind of stupid. But it was a fun movie, I guess. And
like, then, they have a bat in here, don't they?
And then I hear doo-doo. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be the only person here right now, dude. And so I literally like grabbed this cute pair of scissors that was like next to me because I used it to like cut open a dog toy that they got for me. And I was like, fuck. And I actually spooked myself a little bit, just like looking around the house, making sure everything's locked. Cause in the movie, they'll like break a window and like get into your house and stuff.
Yeah.
So that freaked me out. So I guess kudos to them for making me spooked after the fact because my parents' house does weird shit, but
I didn't think like, it was that scary, but when you like go home to like a dark house,
oh yeah,
like the fucking corners of the room is terrifying.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like that. Like it's not necessarily like it'll scare you like in the movie.
Yeah,
but if your mind's just on it, you'll scare yourself a little bit.
Yeah,
and then I finished Squid Game.
Yeah,
yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know,
they made it interesting enough to watch all the way through and not be like, okay, let's just get through this kind of feel. But it's still like, eh. And I don't know if I'll watch the American one whenever that comes out, but
even if it's like directed by David Fincher?
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm watching that then.
Yeah. I was like, the way they set that up, I'm like,
I thought the appeal was Cate Blanchett is fucking Squid Game now.
Yeah, no. I thought that was so interesting to actually make it like connected, you know? Because I heard that and I was like, that's dumb. There's one already, you know, but I thought it was just going to be a remake, but not like necessarily connected universe kind of thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
If it's David Fincher, I'm in there.
When I was editing the last episode, you mentioned Train to Busan.
Oh, yeah.
The dad that's in that, he's the guy who does like the slap thing.
Yeah, I recognized that as soon as I saw him in Train to Busan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's in Squid Game. He kills himself.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. In season 2.
Oh, I don't remember that.
He was 456. Like his guys find him and then 456. Then they go to a hotel room and they do like Russian roulette, I think.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But he's good in that.
Yeah, definitely.
In both of those things. He's good. I want to see even more things.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you watch?
Watch The Bear season 4.
Nice.
It's a good show, but that show is like pissing me off. Because there'll be like 8 episodes or whatever. And it never feels like it always feels like there's maybe 2 important episodes. And
the rest is
they're just kind of kicking the can down the road kind of thing. And this season ended. I'm like, I guess that could be the last episode, like, because everyone that's in it is like busy, you know, and in movies and whatnot. But I don't know.
Is it confirmed for another season or?
Yeah, it was just confirmed. 1 and 2 were just like so strong.
Yeah.
You know, and then these last ones, it felt like it was just kind of made in a rush.
That sucks.
And so it's just kind of odd. It might be great as like a binge, but. I watched Ironheart.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first episode.
Yeah. Did you see the St. Bernard in the first
episode? No. I was eating spaghetti while I was watching it.
When you eat spaghetti, you're like blind to dogs or something?
No.
You just...
Wait.
So the Mexican guy that's in it...
Yeah, Anthony Ramos? That guy?
No, the other one.
Oh, okay.
He was like following Riri and when he's like scouting her or whatever. Uh-huh. And he was like in front of her like apartment building and he had a Saint Bernard.
Oh.
I was like, oh, well, cool.
I do like a Saint Bernard.
Look at that good boy.
I would like a Saint Bernard at some point, even though I slobber a lot. I'm naming Bernie.
Yeah. Are you gonna keep watching that or not really?
I don't know. I like the approach.
Yeah.
So far. I like the suit. It's clunky. I like a clunky suit.
Mm-hmm.
And Anthony Ramos is the hood, which I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Which
do you know
like,
the hood?
Yeah, I know him on Snap, and when you play him, he summons a demon. So I assume he's like a demon villain. Like he summons demons or whatever. And I'm like, okay, some sort of like satanic sort of thing that a Iron Man based character has to deal with.
Sure.
And it seems like that's the case because spoilers, but I guess there's like Mephisto in it.
Yeah, the last episode.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. And so when I saw that, like, ooh.
So you saw that on your own organically?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I texted you immediately.
Okay, so what do you think of the show then? Because that's 6 episodes you've seen then?
Yeah. The last episode is the best episode, but the rest of it's like...
Is that the season finale?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like not bad. Does he
summon demons?
No demons. He's got... The hood is magic.
Okay.
And it's kind of like affecting him, you know?
Got it.
But... Because we always like heard about like Sacha Baron Cohen being Mephisto.
Yeah.
You know, and just Mephisto being a thing for like every other project and just seeing him in it.
In this one.
I was like, oh my God, they're doing it. And so I was just
really... He seems like good casting for Mephisto.
Yeah. No, I thought he killed it.
Yeah.
And so I was just really excited by that.
How much do we see Mephisto in this? It seems like it was just like a last...
He's like throughout the last episode. Like I thought it'd just be the first scene, but he was like... I texted you after the first scene and then like watch the rest of it.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, comes up more.
Got it.
So honestly, I think you could probably just watch the last episode and be fine. You know,
okay.
You got to fill in some blanks, but do you know the hood was created by Brian K. Vaughan?
I did not know that.
Yeah. I looked him up and I saw that.
That's cool. He's got a lot of hits that have made it to live action at the big 2. Runaways.
Oh, true.
The hood.
Yeah.
That's 2 of them.
Etc. This is based in Chicago. And they go to White Castle. I thought that was fun.
Is that where White Castle's from?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been there in Chicago. It's pretty good.
Nice. I forgot to say about Squid Game. Have you watched it?
Yeah, I finished it.
Oh, they killed a dog, dude.
Bad show.
Bad show. Might I forgot bad. To say that. It is bad. Yee. I was pissed. It was like a Roddy or like a pity. Unfortunate. What else did you watch?
I watched Sunshine. You ever seen that?
No.
So
I want to, though.
It's a Danny Boyle directed movie written by Alex Garland.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Sarah just stumbled upon it and I'm like, does she want to watch it? She's like, you want to watch this? Like, yes. It's like one of those movies I've always meant to watch.
Yeah, me too. I know what the concept of it is, but yeah, it seems good.
Yeah, really good. A lot of people in it.
Like Chris Evans,
Cillian Murphy.
Oh, really?
Michelle Yeoh, Rose Byrne.
Oh, wow.
A lot of people.
Michelle Yeoh's in that?
Yeah. I'm like, is that fucking... She's like, this is... It's like a 20-year-old movie. She looks like super young, you know? And so
yeah.
I'm just thrown off by that. Mm. But yeah, pretty good. And it's like... I think Danny Boyle might be really tight with his editor, or he does the editing. I didn't look into it, but it's like edited like a Danny Boyle movie, you know, where, you know, how it was kind of like chaotic
in
28 years.
Mm-hmm.
28 Days is like that too. And so seeing just that in like a sci-fi setting is cool. And yeah, pretty good. People should watch it if they like sci-fi.
That's cool. Cillian Murphy is in Time, which I watched and fell asleep to.
Is he?
This weekend. Yeah.
Good movie.
He looks so weird in it.
Why?
I guess I'm just used to Oppenheimer Cillian Murphy, but this is like young Cillian Murphy where he's got like cool hair.
He's got like fat in his face. He's
got like a little bit of fat in his face.
Yeah.
And his eyes seem more red. I don't know why.
Other Cillian Murphy movies.
But he's like an assassin or something in Time.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. I just remember like Amanda Seyfried and JT and then Olivia Wilde. In it.
Smoke show.
That's your mom. Yeah, good movie. And then other Killian movie I watched was a movie called Red Eye. It's got
like a flight.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got Rachel McAdams in it.
Cool.
Rachel McAdams is a like hotel manager, and spoilers, but like Cillian Murphy like is on the flight next to her, like the seat next to her, and he's like a part of like assassin group, and he needs Rachel McAdams to call the hotel and move some high roller guy to like this balcony
mid-flight.
Yeah, so move it to the balcony so they can kill the guy or whatever, right? And I guess back in the day there used to be phones in every seat, and you would swipe your credit card and you can make a call.
When was this movie made?
2005, I think.
Mm, interesting timing to make a plane movie.
Right. There's no like trouble.
He's not hijacking the plane?
He's not hijacking the plane.
Okay.
And I thought he was the main character, so that was kind of throwing me for a loop.
Yeah.
And so it's just Rachel McAdams trying to like stop this, essentially.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a swift hour and a half. Pretty good. I gave it like a 3.5 out of 5, so take that with what you will. Watch Starship Troopers.
Oh my god, dude, it's so good.
It is very good. I don't know why it took so long to get to this, but I'm glad I did.
This is Cillian Murphy in Time. It just looks a little off to me. I don't know why.
Yeah, he looks like he's like a singer in like a goth band or something.
Yeah, I think it's just the big coat. It was just kind of throwing me off, and then the
hair. Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, anyway,
Clancy Brown.
Dude, right?
The best.
Isn't he so good?
He's the best character.
I'm like, Mr. Krabs did this?
He ends up saving the day.
Oh my god.
And
I love the vibes of it.
Just the vibes are ridiculous.
I'm doing my part, you know?
Yeah.
All that stuff is just so funny.
I didn't do fucking shit. Yeah. So that was just like what was in my head during that part. But yeah, I just wanted to watch something silly on a Sunday morning or whatever.
It's a good silly movie.
Yeah, and it's just a good action
fun.
And it's this fascist world that they're in is like just so interesting, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone's just okay with it. And
yeah.
It's just so
That's part of like the satire of it as well, which I really appreciate.
I think what I like about it is that it's so clearly satire, but some people just don't
clearly get it.
Yeah,
they're like, "Fuck yeah."
I'm like, this looks dumb. We love
military industrial complexes.
Yeah, like it's so dumb, but it like is so cool at the same time. I'm like, how the fuck do you pull that off?
I know. I don't get it at all. That's what Helldivers feels like too.
Yeah.
Which is, it's just crazy. And then the action's good. The guns are cool.
Yeah. Great movie.
Good shit.
Big fan.
I'm glad you finally watched that.
And then I watched Thunderbolts, baby.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
It's on streaming now?
Came to rental.
Nice.
Yeah, you know, I'd be renting stuff.
Nice, nice. What'd you think?
Spoiler. Oh, good. I liked it a lot. I was a big fan.
Yeah. I liked it too.
Definitely step in the right direction. Super different from other movies.
Mm-hmm.
But also not being that different, I guess. But spoilers, but rest in peace to Taskmaster.
Yeah.
It happened. I'm like, whoa.
You deserve better. Yeah, it does happen out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I remember just a lot of speculation that was going to happen pretty early on because she's not like a lot of the promo and trailers and stuff. Yeah. So when it does happen, I'm like, yep, there it is. But I like Taskmaster. I wish there was a different approach to that character and a longer
lifespan. It seemed like this was like an improvement just costume-wise. Yeah, it was. You know? So.
Yeah, totally. But they killed him.
It made me realize like how many gaps in Sarah's like MCU viewing there are.
She's like, who the hell is that?
Yeah, she sees like US Agent. She's like, is that like Captain America? I'm like, oh, fuck, he was in a show.
He's in a show and he's trying. He was Captain America.
I think his name's Nomad. I'm like, that, they didn't go with that. And I'm like, oh, US Agent.
US Agent, yeah.
And then I'm like, did you see fucking
Ant-Man and the Wasp?
Yeah, she didn't see that. I'm like, she's like a ghost thing. I don't know what she does. But
yeah, I don't know why she's fucked up.
I'm like, did you see Black Widow? She's like, I think so. I'm like, that's her sister.
It is so, like a lot of just like tying random people together.
Yeah.
And then it's like, there's Bucky. You know Bucky.
Right. There's a part where everyone's shooting at Bob. You know, he gets like 1,000 bullets shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then like it just exposes his abs. I'm like, ooh, abs are bulletproof.
Yeah, those are that's important.
Right.
Yeah, I did like that. That was good.
They pulled off the void. I didn't expect. Well, I kind of expected it to an extent, but the way they did it was just like so fucking cool.
Yeah, I don't really know what the void normally looks like. Is it like a silhouette figure, or is it like a? I thought it was like a demon looking thing.
It's like it's kind of like null looking, but more blackish. But it is like kind of like the silhouette-esque character. That was freaky as hell.
It was freaky, and I think it was like just really interesting to look at. Because it wasn't like just full on silhouette, but it was like pretty close. And so I just thought that was interesting. Did you think they killed that kid when it happened?
Kind of, yeah.
I was like, they fucking killed that kid.
Yeah, the way he's just poofing people.
Yeah, boom. It was good noise, too.
Yeah, good noise.
Because it was like kind of scary, but not like loud or anything. It's just like, that just happened.
It'd be a great like text ringtone. You know?
No, I'd be like, who the fuck? Who just got Nagasaki'd? Like,
yeah. So I was like kind of explaining things to Sarah as they're going along. She had questions. I'm like, oh, that's a Sentry. I'm like, and she's like, so is he like really old? I'm like,
oh,
no.
You misheard.
I'm like, S-E-N. And I'm like, no, like the gun, you know? I don't think she knows what like a Sentry gun is.
Yeah. I don't know what does that word even mean? We'll look it up.
It's like I don't know. Never thought about the definition of a character's name.
I know that's like a word, but a soldier stationed to keep guard or to control access to a place.
Sure.
Yeah, it makes sense. Cool.
David Harbour is awesome.
Yeah, I think he carries and Florence Pugh carry
for sure
quite a bit in this movie, especially their like big emotional scene or whatever.
Florence Pugh's like too good for these
movies.
That's
right. Dude, the whole time I'm like, she stands out because she's so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, she's in so many great things, you know, and then, but she's still like, I know. Do these.
And she seems to like it.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool.
Yeah.
But
or maybe she's that good of an actor.
Maybe she's acting that she likes it. But that specifically was so jarring to me because I really felt like Sebastian Stan just phoned this one in.
I feel like his character is kind of emotionless in a way.
Yeah, but it feels different in the other ones, where in this one, it just seems like he's kind of tired of doing this.
Maybe you just haven't seen him in a while.
Maybe that could be it too. But I feel like really
the first full appearance that he's in was like the show, you know? Right? Huh? Was like Falcon Winter Soldier.
His first full appearance?
Like his last full appearance.
No, he was in the new Captain America movie
first. For scene. Like a minute.
Yeah. And even that felt
that's probably different. Like a reshoot just to give that movie some hype, you know?
Probably. I don't know. It felt something felt off about it and I couldn't shake. But
he did cool stuff.
He did a cool shotgun flip. Remember that? On the bike?
Yeah.
They grab someone's shotgun and they flips it. And I'm like, that was good.
There was a bit where when you're in the void or whatever, or the void's little like inception thing, Bob, he's in his like his childhood room or whatever, and so all the furniture starts flying around.
That was cool.
And then it dies down, but David Harbour's still fighting like this pillow. He's like, evil pillow.
That one got you?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Fucking Luke was like asleep and I had to like hold it. And I think the fact that I had to hold it in made it funnier.
Yeah.
Like everyone's like punching chairs and shit. And he's just, he got the pillow.
He had a lot of really like just things that probably weren't that funny, but just the delivery of it carries.
Yeah.
Just
like they,
the ridiculousness.
Winter Soldier has them all tied up. But he decides that he needs them all to go fight Bob or whatever. And then Red Guardian's just like, yeah.
Yeah, he seems just excited to be there. Which I like that trope because like he's just bored at his house before this. And so he just loves this.
Yeah, Red Guardian is, it might be like kind of a easy go-to comic relief, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, me too. I think he's got the charisma. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I thought just the idea of how it ended with just like using the power of friendship or whatever sounds corny, but I think they did it pretty well here.
I thought that was fucking hilarious, but like, it was like cool. Like,
it was done well. Cause it's not, it doesn't feel as corny as it probably should be, I guess. But it was just the themes of like reaching out to others to help kind of deal with your trauma.
Yeah.
It's like a good message.
The message in here is cool. And
yeah,
I thought it was cool that Bob's like fighting the void, you know, on hand to hand. But have you read anything with Sentry?
No.
I read like the Jeff Lemire run, like the miniseries that he did.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand what was happening.
But yeah.
The art was cool.
Wasn't he in
like Dark Avengers?
Yeah, I think he was on an maybe Avengers run with Bendis and like Finch.
Maybe even New Avengers.
But there was like a teen team in Marvel that he like shows up in and he has to fight. I forget what it was though.
Really? Okay.
I thought you had read it.
Was it like New Warriors or something?
I think it was probably something like that.
I don't remember if he was, but
anyway,
good movie.
Yeah, I liked it.
Dude, you know, I rented this and it didn't even fucking occur to me that there's after credit scenes.
It was kind of goofy.
Yeah, it was like some...
Did you look it up after the fact?
Yeah, it was, I think it was some Red Guardian thing where he's on like a box of Wheaties and then...
Yep.
Another one was something, it was like a Fantastic Four ship or something. And so.
Yeah, and US agents wearing a whack ass hat. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
He's like in a US agent costume.
Okay.
And his shield is still bent.
Yeah.
He's just rolling with it, I guess. And just like the hat is like a beret, but it just, it does not work on him. So I'm just like, oh, please don't continue doing that. But yeah, it was just kind of like a ham fisted, like, oh, look, a Fantastic Four ship.
Yeah. So,
we'll see.
Pretty cool. Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
Do we have some lined up? I think we're good for a little bit.
Good for a little bit.
Nice.
I thought we could do an Eisner-nominated book.
Yeah.
It'll come out like the weekend before.
Yeah, we've been doing too much Big Two stuff.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe Uncanny Valley by Tony Fleeks.
Oh, yeah. That seems good.
And then there's also like Santos Sisters.
I don't even know what that is.
Okay. There's some indie thing that came out recently. It's just on my radar because Ash had like a signing for it, but like I didn't know what it was, so I didn't go.
Oh. But it was nominated
for an Eisner? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think new series. I don't know. You can look at the noms if you want, but.
Let me see.
There's a lot of Big Two stuff nominated this year.
Yeah, which is kind of lame, except for the Absolute stuff. I like that. So, Uncanny Valley, you said?
Yeah. I think that was like miniseries, maybe?
It's just a good name.
Uncanny Valley?
Yeah. And Dave Wachter?
Yeah. Is he an artist or writer?
I think he's normally a writer. It seems like there are different art styles in this, which seems fun.
Okay.
No, hold on. What was the other one called? Santos Sisters?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I've seen this.
So, Dave Wachter is the artist.
Oh, he is.
And colorist.
I thought Tony Fleeks was the writer-artist on, like, Stray Dogs, isn't he?
He is, but
okay, but he's just writing this here. One. Okay. Yeah. I'm down for Uncanny Valley.
Okay, cool.
That seems good.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Yes.
Tell us what Fantastic Four runs you like.
Yeah. I think we've been doing gimmicky ones, it feels like.
I guess so, yeah.
In the history of the show.
But we'll probably not do one this Thanksgiving since we did one here.
Yeah.
But, you know, for next year.
Yeah. We'll bank it for next time we do a Fantastic Four thing.
Let us know. Send us an email at trevorspod@gmail.com. We got a link in our bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. And go see Fantastic Four.
Probably going to be good.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Superman at this point, probably go see that.
Yeah. God, I hope both of them are good.
At least one of them be good.
I prefer if Superman was good.
I'm sure they'll both be solid, you know?
Yeah.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
bye.
Goodbye.